great to worship all together. So this morning, I want to answer a question. I want us to answer a question through our morning. And we've called it in Everyone's Sunday, but I just want to answer the question, why? Why have an Everyone's Sunday, all right? For example, kids, you're going to be like, I don't want to listen to this guy. Like, I'd rather be with Ben out there doing games. Like, that's much more fun than listening to this chump up the front. And adults might be like, I'm too cool for school for this, all right? Just to say, this is for everyone. I'm unashamedly telling you that, all right? So if you're like, I don't like this bit, I don't like that bit, well, guess what? Just suck it up. But to help us, all right, just dig into that question a little bit more. To help us answer the question, why haven't everyone Sunday, I want you to do this for me. I would like you on your table to... There we go. I want you to tell each other your best or most interesting fact. You got a minute, all right, on your table. What's your best or most interesting fact? Go. What is it? It doesn't have to be about yourself. It could be any fact. Any fact. Okay, let me just draw your conversations back this way. Did anyone hear one? They were like, that's pretty cool. You only heard one. Oh, sorry. Jamie Lee, shout out what you heard that you liked. Nice and loud, go. Or Gina, or Helen. There you go, that is a cool fact. That's cool. Anyone else got one that were like, I heard that, I think that's quite funny, or cool. Or, go on, Simon. They cannot. They live on different poles, by the way. One is north, one is south. What? I've just been done there. They can't get the tape, the penguins, the biscuit. By the way, penguins are bourbons covered in chocolate. There you go. That's why they taste so good. I do have a genuine penguin fact. This is my fun fact I always tell everyone. Did you know penguins can't walk backwards? That's a genuine fact. It's not a joke. Penguins can't walk backwards. Anyway. Why on earth did I get you to share about going on your knees on the A20, whatever it was? Well, because, this is really important actually, because every person knows something. Everyone knows something interesting. I might not have given you enough time to share it, but everyone has got something interesting to share because every person in this room has experienced someone, has an experience that someone else has not had. So nobody, I don't think anyone else has experienced what Helen's experienced going along the A20 being pulled along on her knees or whatever it was, right? Because everyone has something different to give, right? Why have an Everyone Sunday? Not because children need adults, not because adults need children, but because, firstly, we need each other. We need each other, all right? So, why have an Everyone Sunday? Because we need one another, because we belong to Jesus. So what I want us to do, I'm going to have some Bible verses on the screen. I did send out a message on the WhatsApp community to say, bring your Bible. So if you've got it, get it out. This is your moment to shine and show your well-read Bibles. I want you to have a look at these verses and answer this for me. Have a look in your Bibles. What do these three Bible verses, there are more by the way, but what do these three Bible verses teach us about how older and younger Christians should relate to one another? How do these help us to dig into that? Have a look at those verses. You've got 5 minutes to have a conversation on your table. Go. If you can't see them, they are Proverbs 16, verse 31. Matthew 19, verse 13 to 14. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 to 12. Just so you know, you don't have to do all of them. Maybe you're in a deep discussion about one of them. That's fine. In a moment, so this is just me prompting you to hurry up. But in a moment, I'm going to ask you, can you write one thing? So there's paper on your table. Do it big enough so I can vaguely see it. I want you to write down one thing that you spotted. Just one thing, one way. It doesn't have to be loads. Just one way that one of these verses teaches us how older and younger Christians should relate to one another. What? Give me something. Any one thing. One thing. Okay, let's just bring us all back together. Why don't you hold your piece of paper up? I cannot see that, Laura, sorry. Hold it up anyway, because other people can. It's fine. There's some written really, really tiny. Okay. We've got a few things. We've got don't let people look down on you. We've got respect. We've got cherishing one another. Talking to everybody. Welcoming children. I can't see that from here. I'm blind as a bat. I'll try, but I can't see it. So just pop those down again for a moment. So let me just riff. I'm just going to riff off some of the stuff you... All right. Literally, I'm just riffing off everything that you guys have said, by the way. But I just want to just look at these verses a little bit. So first of all, in Proverbs 16 says something quite amazing, actually. Grey hair. Anyone got grey hair? Mine's just slowly, very slowly beginning. I will not mention my wife's hair. No, she's not grey. She's not. Just right, I'll be quiet. It's silver. Well, actually, this is what the Bible says, okay? This is what the Bible says. In Proverbs 16, grey hair is a crown of splendor. I don't know what your version said, but a crown of righteousness, a crown of wisdom. It's what I think the ESV says. Andy Nichols, how many have you got on your head? All right. Grey hair is a crown of splendor. And then it says this. It is attained. You gain a crown of wisdom by walking in the way of righteousness. So that means, okay, that means if you are younger, so if you are, when I say younger, I'm talking about under 18, all right? No, under 25. Let's go with that, all right? That means if you are younger, there is wisdom in this room. That means that there is wisdom, maybe even on your table, maybe your parents even, all right? But that also means, and because there is wisdom in this room, that also means, let's follow that down a little track, all right? That also means that if you are trying to work out something about Jesus, if you're trying to work out what you believe as someone who's a bit younger, it is likely that there are people in this room who have had experiences and questions similar to yours. Because they've walked in the way of righteousness. They know, they've experienced it, they've grown in wisdom. So for example, if you're battling a question about Jesus, if you're wondering what it means to keep going as a Christian, if you're confused about what we're about to do a bit later with baptism, right? The Bible doesn't say Google it. It doesn't say go on to Google if you want to know what to do. It's about be bold. Ask somebody who has walked with Jesus and has experienced what you might be experiencing now. Who might have questioned what you question now. By the way, a crown of wisdom, right, those grey hairs, it is a metaphor, by the way. Right, Solomon is using a metaphor. It's not necessarily because Andy Nichols has got grey hair, all right. It's because he has grown in spiritual maturity. He's grown in God. Right? If you are someone who is older, if you are a mature Christian, that we are not let off the hook. All right, if you are a mature Christian, if you've been a Christian for a while, right, you need to know something. You have experience that matters. You've got stories that matter. Your prayers for the next generation matter. All right, the next generation needs examples of those who walk in the way of righteousness. Why haven't everyone Sunday? Firstly, because of that. But also, let's just jump to what Paul said. Paul in 1 Timothy, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. I think in our culture, it's also don't let anyone look down on you because you are old. I think that's a difference in our culture now. But that's not the point of the verse. Interesting, you're all like, don't let anyone look down on you. Don't let anyone respect you. That's not the point of the verse. The point of the verse is the next bit. But set an example in faith and love. So that's the challenge for all of us. Right? Whether you're young, whether you're old, it's not about whether someone looks down on you or not. No. Be example setters. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to be. The challenge for all of us is to be example setters, to show the people in our church, but also the world something. Then we need to show them what joy looks like. Kids, you've got an incredible way of showing what joy looks like. Right? What does honesty look like? What does wonder of God look like? We've got an opportunity to show that. Jesus models this in Matthew 19. You might have seen this in the Matthew 19 verse. Jesus didn't simply say, oh, let the children come to me. That's not where he stops. Instead, he uses children as an example of what it is to be an example setter. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like children. God is our Father, whether you are 100 or not, right? God is our Father. And so what God calls us to, where Jesus says, doesn't simply say children are welcome, right? They're to be examples. It's because we are to be childlike, right? That's an example, all right? I'm an adult, I'm really serious, all right? Earlier, do you know what's really interesting? There were people being childlike in front of God while they were worshiping. Simon Taylor at the back, just jump in. No, I'm being deadly serious, all right? He was jumping and he was clapping and he was just worshiping God. Right? That's to be childlike, all right? Childlike, just to notice the difference. Do you know what the difference between childlike is and childish? They are different, right? So childlike, right? I can be childlike because we can get excited. And get excited about God, excited at wonder of him and being amazed by him. But childish is very different. Childish is sulky. Childish is immature. Childish is unwise. Jesus in Matthew 19, he is saying, no, be childlike. Be childlike. Jesus welcomed every generation. He used every generation and every demographic. Why haven't everyone Sunday? Because we need each other to learn and to grow from each other. And so what I want to do, here's a perfect example, and we're going to live this out right now. Here's a perfect example. I'm going to get Anna to come up of what I'm talking about. Right? One of the greatest gifts that God has given us is the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And so, in a minute, I don't want you to clap because this is cute or anything like that. I want you to realize something. Right, listen, because God often encourages his people through the youngest among us to share truths from the Bible. Right? They can share truth. And so, Anna, do you want to lead us in this? It'd be great.
Yes, so every term in kids' work, we like to learn a memory verse through song. So that it goes deep, deep in our hearts. The Bible says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. So that's what we're doing out in kids' work. We're hiding the word of God in the hearts of our children. And we want to do that with you this morning. So we're going to teach you a little bit of the verse that we've been doing. We've been doing a massive chunk, actually. It's Ephesians 6, verses 12 to 18, which is humongous. And it's actually called the armor of God. Have you heard of it? Yes. And before we start every week, we like to dress a child up in the armor of God. The budget didn't extend to authentic Roman armor, but we do have a crocheted version, courtesy of Maddie Babu, who is not here. But yeah, it's lovely. But I thought you kids have dressed up in it loads. So I think it's time to get an adult dressed up in the armor of God. So in order to decide, I've got four people that need to come out here, and then we're going to have a sort of test to work out who it's going to be. So Simon Barker, could you come out, please? Lovely, thank you. Andy Nichols? Andy Nichols? Yeah, lovely. Okay, who else? I can see there's like some slight panic going on in some hearts. Now, who, yeah, no, that's what I'm looking for. Emma Riosecco, you can come out. Come on. Lovely. And we'll go for Beryl. Beryl, could you come out? Thank you. If you could just stand in a line for me, just there. Yeah? Okay, just here. Now, some of you may be familiar with a film called Cheaper by the Dozen from many years ago. Okay, and there's this thing. Could you take one step forward, everybody? Step forward, because I'm going to come behind and do my little beep test. So I will go over the top and beep, beep, beep. And when it lands on our person that's going to be dressed, the beep will get a bit stronger. Are you ready? Oh, who's it going to be? Beep, 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 beep. Well done, guys. You can sit down. Andy, stay put. There you go. Okay. We're going to take this in turns. If you're under 11, don't answer the first one, okay? Because you know it too well. So let's see if any of our older ones can work out what the armor of God is. Okay. What do you think this is? I heard somebody on this table. There we go. The breastplate of what? The breastplate of righteousness. Well done. Andy, could you put that on? It does fit. Jack has worn this, actually, so it should fit. Andy is putting the breastplate of righteousness on. That means that he has been made right with God. Okay. Next one. What can he hold? Okay, what else? Now, if you're under 11, you can answer this one. Anybody? Does anybody know what this? You can all shout it out. One, two, three. The belt of truth. Can you buckle that around your waist? Yeah? Who is the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. Okay. What have we got here now? I'm throwing this out to the adults. This is for the older ones now. Older ones? What is it? Sword of the Spirit. Well done. Okay. Right. Next one. I'm going to go for this one. Anybody know what this one is? The helmet of salvation. Well done, Noah Cobb. That means we have been saved by Jesus and we put our helmet of salvation on. Wow. Wonderful. Okay. You look amazing. It's too late. Okay. And this one, we're going to go for anyone... Anyone in youth? Well done, Rupert. Well done, Rupert. Anyone in youth? Liliana. The shield of faith. Well done. The shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the fiery darts of the devil. Okay, the budget didn't extend to the last one, which are the gospel shoes of peace. So if you could just do a little jig for us. That's lovely. Okay, the gospel shoes of peace. Right, you can stay there. Now, I am going to I'm not going to dress you all up. I'm going to teach you the first part of the memory verse. So we love to sign in kids' work. So are you up for a bit of signing? Yes. Okay. I don't think I can sign and hold a mic. So are you okay, Johnny? Sorry. Oh, Jamie. Lovely. Okay. Okay, if you're a child, could you stand up? Stand up. If you're an adult, stay sat down, but I want you joining in. We begin our verse by saying, our struggle, and we put our hands like this. Show the adults, kids. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not struggling. Get into it, Johnny. There we go. We are struggling. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay, adults doing it. But against the rulers. Make yourself look important. Against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Then get your shoulder roll going. Whoa, whoa. Yeah, okay. And against the spiritual forces of evil. Evil, this is a sign for naughty. You put your fingers, this is super naughty. That's why we're going evil. Okay, and we go like that. And then we say, in the heavenly realms. Make it very dancey, very nice. Heavenly realms. Then therefore, you stamp, stamp. Therefore, Clap, clap. Put on the full armor of God. We will do the rest, but I expect you all to join in for that part. Okay, let's play the track. Oh, kids, you can stand on a chair if you want.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. The full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God.
Yeah. So that when the day of evil comes, may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, just stand. Yeah, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
The full armor of God. Full armor of God. Therefore,
to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Oh. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Full armor of God.
I think that was a really good example of being childlike, yeah? But also realizing that we can learn the Word of God from one another, yeah? Amen? Yeah, let's get a bit more, come on. All right, so first thing we said was, why have an Everyone Sunday? Because we need each other, but also because we are connected to one another through Christ. That's a really important part of this. So the world would say we need each other, but the thing that's different in the church is that we are all orientated around Jesus. And so I'm going to get Anna back up again because, yeah. So we are going to look at the Bible again together. So you're going to go into your groups again in a minute and read some verses. But we're going to do it a different way. So we're going to do a Bible race. So this... Now you're interested. So what we're going to do, if you find the passage first, you stand up and you put the Bible on your head just so I know where you are. All right? If you cannot get the Bible verse right in front of you to read it straight away, you cheated. So you're not allowed to use your phone. It has to be a physical Bible. So do you want to do the draw of your sword?
Okay, can we remember from the armor of God, what piece of armor is the Bible? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's what we fight our battles with. So we like to do a sword drill. So we're a bit like a Roman soldier. So if you could all hold your Bible by the opening of the pages side. Yeah, hold that in your hand. And you're going to sheath your sword under your armpit. Lovely. They might be a bit fresh, some of them. Okay, right, there we go. Sheath your sword. Then we're going to draw our sword. As we draw our sword, we're going to make the sound of a sparkly sword. We're going to go, shing. Can you do that? Shing. Lovely. Let's do that together. So sheath your sword. Draw your sword. Shing. Then Johnny will shout the verse out. Okay, you keep it in the air. If any Bibles go down while the verse is being shouted out, you are disqualified. You keep it in the air until Johnny says charge. Does that make sense? Yeah, yeah. Yes. It will appear on the screen as well. Okay, yeah. No. I don't know. Let's just try. Should we try? Yeah, yeah, you need to say the verse because I don't know what the verse is. Okay. Sheath your sword, everybody. Draw your sword. Zing!
1 Corinthians 12, 27. Go.
Charge,
charge, charge. Put it on your head if you get it first. Oh, Rachel, can you tell us the first word of the verse? First word. Yes, now. Now, it is now you are the body of Christ. Well done, Anna, thank you. And each one of you is a part of it. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. Okay. So close your Bibles. We got two more. Right, sheath your sword, armpit time. Draw your sword. Charge, Romans 12, 4 to 5. Romans 12, 4 to 5. Oh, I didn't... Oh, thank you, Anna. Which one, sorry? Ellie. Let's check she's not cheated. If you say the first couple of words. Yes, well done. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay, last one, sheath your sword. I'll say the scripture, and then when I say charge, it's my fault, I've got it wrong. We're drawing, so yeah, draw the sword. Which way around? Scripture first is Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. Charge! Ephesians, oh, that is fast! Lightning fast! Give us the first couple of words. Yes, wonderful. Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. On your tables, very nice and quickly, nice simple question. In these passages, how is the church described? Go, have a chat. How is the church described in those passages? They're the ones we've just read, by the way. I'm not asking you to go look for some more. Those verses we've just read, what is the church described as? Why don't you, on your piece of paper, write the one word. Write one word. What is it described as? When you've got it all written down, hold it up nice and high. I'm not trying to trick you. The word is in there. Wonderful. I'm really pleased everyone said the same thing. It's like we actually read it and listened. So in these passages, the body is the church is described as a body. So Anna and Co. Anna's going to bring, if you are in preschool or a younger person, Anna is going to bring round some Play-Doh to you. I'd like you to design a body for me, a human body. Everyone else, look this way. Look at me. Don't get distracted by the Play-Doh. Don't think you're going to do it. By the way, best body wins. That's a weird thing to say. Shouldn't have said it like that. Best Play-Doh person wins. But just imagine for a moment. So they're going to make a body. I would be surprised, partially surprised, to see if they intentionally made a body look like this. Isn't that rough? Simon saw my PowerPoint before and he said, that is the roughest picture ever. It is proper weird what AI can make us. But this is a lovely AI image, all right, of an ear. This is a picture of an ear trying to be a body. It doesn't work. It just looks weird, proper weird. But why? Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't this work? Well, if you think about it this way, the passages we read, it didn't say the church is an audience. Oh, it's all about what I hear, everything that I'm hearing. The church isn't an audience. It's not an ear. The church isn't a service. It isn't, I'm going to open my mouth and you're going to feed me. All right, the church isn't that. The church is a body. It is connected. It's not dismembered like this. All right, it's not just one body part. It's not scattered. It's not one-sided. It's not totally random. It's put in place together properly. Listen again to Ephesians 4. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Who holds this body? So if we are a body, who holds us together? It is Christ. Christ is the one who holds us together. We're not some ear. We're not some toenail. I didn't type in toenail, by the way, to check how it would come out. But every Christian from every country, from every culture, from every generation, from every background, they are connected as the body of Christ because of Christ. So that means if Jesus is the head, right? If Jesus is the head, if Jesus is the heartbeat and the brain behind everything that is happening within the church, I suppose Bognor Mosaic Church is probably the armpit or an armpit hair or something like that. I don't know. But my point is this, we're not the whole body, right? This here, where we are, actually, we might be multi-generational, but we're not the whole body still. This isn't the whole body, right? We're a tiny part of God's worldwide family. It's bigger than us. Every Christian here, from preschool to pension, we are like a muscle or a ligament or a tendon that joins to make the local church work, to make it healthy for the glory of Jesus and to become because he has connected us to him. And so this raises an interesting question. It raises the question, if the church is God's family, if it's Christ's body, how does someone show that? How do I know that I am part of this body? How do the people in this room know that they are part of this body? Well, firstly, if you think about belonging for a moment, I've got a few pictures on there. You got a school uniform, you got wedding rings, you got the wonderful England shirt, all right? Football kits and school uniforms and wedding rings, they show you are connected. My wedding ring I am wearing isn't the thing that connects me to Kim. Right? Kim's got a wedding ring, I've got a wedding ring. They are in some ways insignificant. I could take it off, but I'm still married to Kim. But what is it doing? It shows, all right? It shows, it doesn't create the relationship, it shows the relationship exists. Why haven't everyone Sunday? Because we need each other, because we are connected to one another through Christ. And the Bible says Christians don't belong to Jesus just because they've grown up in the church. Kids, just because you're growing up in the church, that's not the reason you belong to Jesus. Right? It's not because adults behave in a certain way because they're nice people. It's not because you come along on a Sunday and sing some lovely songs. Ephesians says that we belong to Jesus because we put our trust in him. and we show that we are on Team Jesus, right? We are wearing the football kit. We're wearing the uniform. And what is that? What is the uniform? What is the football kit? What is the wedding ring? Well, it's this. It's baptism. It's baptism. Baptism is the way that we show I'm part of this body. I'm joined here. Baptism doesn't make, so that the two people getting baptized today, it doesn't make them a Christian because they are getting baptized. Actually, baptism doesn't make them a Christian. It's Jesus that makes them a Christian. Baptism doesn't make someone belong to the family even. It shows that they already do because they are connected with those in the church who are also connected to Jesus. So if you're wondering what's actually happening in baptism today, here's three simple things just to help you grasp that a bit. Someone is declaring that they belong to Jesus. Number two, they're identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus and saying, that's my death and my resurrection. And thirdly, they're publicly saying, I belong to this family. I'm going to walk with Jesus all the days of my life. And that means being part of a family. The water out there is not going to save them. Jesus saves them. The water is a visible picture. It's them putting on the football shirt. It's them putting on the wedding ring. The water is a simple, visible picture of what Jesus has already done in someone's heart. So as these ladies, they're going to come up in a moment and they're going to share their stories. I want you to listen for a couple of things. So as they share their stories, I want you to listen for very much what we spoke about this morning. I want you to listen to what has Jesus done? What has connected them to Jesus? Why are they saying, yeah, I want to be part of this family. I want to follow this family. But also, I want you to see evidence of why having everyone Sunday. Right, these testimonies will point towards because we need each other, because we need one another, and because we are connected through Christ. So what we're going to do, we're going to listen to these stories, and then the band are going to come up, we're going to celebrate, and we're going to sing together, and we're going to be childlike, and then we're going to head out and baptize these guys. Does that make sense? So I'm going to ask Eva, do you want to come up for me? Let's give Eva a round of applause. Eva is going to share her testimony and listen out for those moments of being connected to one another and needing one another.
Hi, y'all. Thank you for sharing this moment with me and allowing me to tell your story. I met God 10 years ago, way back then, in the storm of my life, when things were really bad and I was at my lowest. I had no hope, no future, nothing. God came, and he sat with me, he gave me grace, he offered forgiveness, and loved me enough not to leave me in that mess. I owe him my life, I owe him everything, everything I have, everything I am, it's because of him. So why has it taken me 10 years? Well, I'm stubborn like that. I didn't understand it. I wanted to be good enough. I wanted to be the best I could be for him. I didn't want to embarrass him. So I tried. 10 years later, I'm still trying. And it finally clicked. I can't do this. I can't do this without him. I need him. So today, I'm publicly declaring I need him. I can't do anything without him. I'm eternally grateful, and he's got my faithfulness, and forever he's got me.
Amen. Amen. So good. He's got me. Yeah? We are connected. We are one body. We are his and everyone's Sunday because we are his and he is ours. Amen. Amen. Rachel, why don't you come up? Rachel's going to share her testimony, her story. Hold it about there. Just hold the mic to your mouth.
Hold the mic to my mouth. Okay. Hello, everybody. Mine's a little bit longer. Sorry. I have quite a lot of paper here, but it's because I've written so big, so I don't talk too fast because I get really nervous. Hello, I'm Rachel. Wow, I can't believe today that I am finally being baptized. My parents have been encouraging me since I was about 14 years old, and here I am 20 years later, ready to take this next step of my faith. But why? Why now? Why is it taking me so long? I actually have no idea why. Only Jesus knows this. All I know is this year has been one of the hardest years of my life so far, and God has met me right in the middle of all of it. So a little bit about me. I grew up in a Christian family, and I've always been around believers and a part of a church. My parents were missionaries in Pakistan, so we grew up fully involved in their call from God, and it was an amazing childhood. Over the years, I probably asked Jesus into my life so many times, expecting some dramatic, life-changing experience, but it never really seemed to happen. So my life continued. I went to university, I met Jamie, and through all of this time, I always gravitated towards a church. We even, when we went traveling for 3 months, we actually ended up going to quite a few churches, and we went to one in the Philippines, and we were just sitting having breakfast in the hotel, and I heard some worship music, and I said, oh, where's that coming from? So we followed the music, and we ended up in this incredible, massive hall with loads of Filipino Christians, and we joined their service, and it was incredible. So yeah, we've always found our way towards the church. And then together we had two beautiful children, and life was moving forward, and like everyone else's, it had bumps along the way. We used to live in Aylesbury, and we had some wonderful friends there. We went to a wonderful church. But for some reason, I just always seemed to shy away from Bible discussions. I didn't really want to go to Bible meetings. I didn't really want to have the conversations deeper about God. Faith was never really on my mind. But I just always liked going to church. I feel like I had the head knowledge about Jesus. And looking back now, I can see that he was always protecting us and placing people who loved us along my path. But because life was generally good, there was always an excuse not to read my Bible, not to explore God more deeply, or not to really pray all the time. And I remember seeing my friends, my faith-filled friends, being so joyful in their faith. And I always wanted that, but I had no idea how to get there. And I was really worried about being a not a good enough believer to ask anybody about that and where to get to that point. And then 2 years ago, we moved down here. We moved away from my family, all of my friends, and our lovely little home. And it was a really difficult transition. But I was determined to find a church community to make some friends for myself, and most importantly, make friends for the children. So we went on a bit of a church hunt, and then we arrived here. And we felt so welcomed, and the kids even went to kids' club on their own, which, if you know my kids, that is massive for them. And they had a great time, and I think they probably enjoyed the juice and the biscuits the most, but they had a great time. And I remember thinking, yes, this is the church, we have to stay here. And looking back, I can see that this was God's provision and protection. He knew I was always going to need a church family. And then almost a year ago, without going into too much detail, due to my little listening ears, I think they're right there, so I can say it, my most important relationship in my life broke down. And I completely crumbled, and I took all of it on my shoulders. Even though it wasn't my choice, I blamed myself. Questions and conversations were going round and round in my head, and I just was spiraling at every opportunity I could. I remember messaging Kim and saying, I know you don't know me very well, but we are going through some really tough things in my marriage at the moment, and I really don't know what to do. And she messaged me back within 10 minutes with a beautiful Bible verse and an offer for a walk along the beach. And that walk changed everything. She reminded me that God doesn't wait for us to have it all together. He welcomes us broken, and he meets us exactly where we are. Well, he certainly got the broken version of me. And from that point on, God continued to provide. He continued to place people, opportunities, and support in my path, things I wasn't strong enough to seek out for myself. He gave me the Alpha course that then moved on to a life group. He gave me beautiful friends in church and outside of church, and they have listened to me endlessly about the last year. He also gave me a church family, and I know that have been praying for me, and I feel so blessed. He even gave me a flat tire one Sunday morning. I know that wasn't God from God, but it meant that Miles and Andy could kindly fix my car, whilst me and the kids got to go on a really fun adventure in Jamie Lee's car, and the children formed a beautiful friendship, and it was just lovely. And from that, it also snowballed into my children building more friendships in church. There's been so many days where I've woken up feeling so overwhelmed, so lost and lonely, and I asked myself, is this really how life is going to feel like now? And then God filled these days with amazing things, plans I could never have been able to organise or plan myself. The days were filled with so much love and joy. And looking back now, I can see him gently answering, no, Rachel, this is what your life is going to look like. Through it all, he has given me unexplainable peace. There are still days full of sadness, grief, and tears. But along them has come a deep sense that God is with me every step of the way. And more recently, he has given me that unexplainable joy that I've always been trying to explore. And I know I still have so much to learn, so much to understand. But I know that God who created this world and created us, and the God who performed miracles and loves me, he knows my name. He's been calling me all along. And for years, I knew God in my head. But through the heartbreak I've experienced, through the loss, the provision, and the friendship, and the grace of God and Jesus, I have come to know him in my heart. The God who collects our tears was collecting mine all along, and he didn't let a single one of them fall unnoticed. I still have so much unknown with my life now, and I know I have so many more hurdles to jump over or probably fall over, but today I'm choosing to be baptized because for the first time I wholeheartedly trust that my life is in God's hands, and I'm so excited to see what he has planned for my life next. That was really long.
Yeah, great. It's no fun. So good to hear stories from people that just point so much towards what God's done and how he has brought us to be family, how he's transformed us. We're going to celebrate that together, and we're going to celebrate it through singing. We're going to worship God together while those baptizing gang get changed. But let's worship together, let's give God the glory, and then we'll head out and to baptize some people.
Yeah, let's stand to our feet. The song says, I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. We've all been in places where, even through the testimonies that we've just heard, we've all been in deep, dark places, but it's God who rescues us, who lifts us out of the grave, who brings us from our tomb into this glorious light. Let's sing this, I was buried.